Numbers chapter 28, the first 10 verses, and this is a summary of the basic offerings that God required of the people on a regular basis or on a continual basis. And you'll note this in Numbers 28. Here again, God's Word. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offering by fire, of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. You shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs 1 year old without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then the drink offering with it shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, as the grain offering of the morning, and as its drink offering you shall offer it, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. Then on the Sabbath day, two male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, in addition to the continual burnt offering and its drink offering." Now, I know that was quite plain to everyone. So, perhaps we ought to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and although some of these passages may be obscure to us, living so many centuries after these rites were first instituted, we pray that you would give us light upon your word and in our hearts, that we might understand the significance of particularly these drink offerings, the significance of these drink offerings to us today, and what they mean with regard to each one of us. And this is particularly the case, Father, we pray, as we prepare to participate together in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, remembering our Lord Jesus, who poured out his life on Calvary's cross for the likes of us, that we might be able to be together this evening to sing and to pray and to look to you. We thank you for that, and we pray now that you would grant us grace as we look into this portion of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On Memorial Day, we regularly see individuals go to different cemeteries and place flags on the graves of those who have gone before us, particularly those who wore the uniform of our country in the military and gave their all in a particular conflict or in a particular war. And it is no small thing for a life to be poured out for others. And it is, of course, a profound fact that many men and women have seen fit to don the uniform and go to foreign shores in mortal combat, and if needs be, shed their blood and pour out their lives so that we would be able to worship freely, converse freely, and travel freely in this land of ours. We give thanks for those who have given their lives and poured out their lives in this fashion. The drink offerings in the Old Testament have to do with this very matter of pouring out, or the pouring out of life in the service of others and in the service of the great God of all, who saw fit to come to us in Jesus Christ and pour out his life for the likes of us. And so the drink offering in the Old Testament points us to this matter of the pouring out of life. And the point I would like you to get this evening as we're together is a very simple one in connection with these Old Testament drink offerings. That you, as individuals and as a company, are called by God to pour out your life in his service because of what Jesus Christ has done for you in pouring out his life for you. You, and I include myself in that, you are to pour out your life in faith and service to God in whatever circumstance in this life you may happen to find yourself, because Jesus Christ saw fit to pour out his life on your behalf. This is the lesson, it seems to me, of the drink offering. And when we enter the arena of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament and the arena of these drink offerings, we are entering a sphere of discussion, we might say, that is not common with us. That is that of typology, biblical typology. What are biblical types? Biblical types are nothing more or less than foreshadowings of things that would take place in the future, foreshadowings given in the Old Testament of things that would take place in the future in the gospel age and that have gospel implications. Types are of the character of demonstrations. You know what a demonstration is, don't you? When you go to the new car dealer, you don't want to just walk around the car and observe it as it's on display. That's one thing. You want to kick the tires. You want to get under the hood. You want to get behind the wheel and drive. And then you have that pesky salesman that has to go with you. But you want a demonstration. That's what biblical types are. They are demonstrations that are given to us in the Old Testament of things that will take place later, foreshadowing the gospel age. The Old Testament sacrifices in those animals placed on the altar foreshadowed the sacrifice of Christ. We understand that this is the case. That's the idea. And the drink offering is an integral part of this sacrificial system. And we see this quite plainly in our text. For example, in Numbers 28 and verse 7, it says, "The drink offering with it," that is, with the burnt offering, the drink offering with it, shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you are to pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. In verse 10, this is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, in addition to the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. You see, here's an integral part of the offering. And we can picture the priest coming in. A hin was a container of somewhat over a gallon. And so if there was a half a hin, it would be 2.5 quarts, a decent-sized container. And going in as a part of the sacrifice and pouring over the burnt offering this wine as a drink offering. And that was part of the ritual. And if you would go back to Numbers chapter 15 and look at that text there just for a moment, you'll notice in verse 10 that it says very explicitly, you shall offer as the drink offering 1/2 a hin of wine as an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. It was wine that was poured over the sacrifice. And I'll have something to say about that in a moment. But this wine comes from what? Well, we know quite well. It comes from the grape. And if you would turn with me to another place, that is Deuteronomy chapter 32, and just note something from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 16. Moses is speaking about the good things that God gives to His people. Or verse 14 it is, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 32, 14. Curds of cows and milk of the flock with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats with the finest of the wheat, and the blood of grapes you drank wine. And of the blood of grapes you drank wine. The imagery is quite striking, is it not? The blood of grapes. And if you've ever gotten that grape juice staining your hands or your clothes, you know exactly what the Bible is speaking about here. The blood of grapes. And Jesus picks up that connection Himself, does He not? When He holds up the cup in the institution of the Lord's Supper, and He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, the blood of grapes. And then what does He say? Which is poured out. Which is poured out. Jesus Christ did this. He poured out His life for the likes of you and me. He gave His all. He spent His life on us. And that's the idea of the drink offering, the pouring out of one's life in dedication to God. The first drink offering that is recorded in the Bible is given in Genesis chapter 35, where God appears to Jacob and names him Israel, and reiterates the great promises that he had given to, that God had given to Abraham and to Isaac. And since God met him and changed him, Jacob, the Bible says, set up a pillar And he poured out on that pillar a drink offering. And that's the first record in the Bible of a drink offering. And I think we can understand from that that Jacob is saying to God, I'm giving my life to you in faith and service. Now we could scratch our heads a little bit and contemplate that, because Jacob had some ups and downs, didn't he? Well, he's not unlike many of us. We have our ups and downs too, do we not? In this life of faith to which God has called us. But as we examine this idea of the drink offering a little bit more and turn back to Numbers 28, if you will, we find that the drink offering is very specifically poured out on the altar of sacrifice. I've intimated that already. Let's read in Deuteronomy or in Numbers 28 again. Numbers 28. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel and say to them, You shall be careful to present my offering, my food, for my offering by fire, a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. You shall say to them, This is the offering by fire you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. You shall offer one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then the drink offering with it shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. Verse 7 in the New American Standard Version speaks here of the holy place, and it may be translated sanctuary. That would be a legitimate way to look at the text. And the altar is in the outer court, which was a part of the sanctuary of the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to one other text, because I want to nail this down. Will you work with me on this? Ezra, chapter 7. Ezra, chapter 7, and verse 17. Now, the reason I'm asking you to go here is that I think this nails down what I'm saying with regard to the drink offering. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem after the time of bondage and rebuilt the city and reinstituted the worship, they were given funds. And Ezra 7:17 says, With this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offering and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And so there we have it quite specifically, that these offerings were to be placed on the altar. And from my perspective, and I hope from your perspective, you will see that this is significant. They were to be poured on the burnt offering on the altar. And the burnt offering on the altar was consumed entirely by fire. It typified and was an emblem of Jesus Christ being consumed by the fiery wrath of God for the sins of His people. That was the picture that was being given. It was a propitiation, a sacrifice that consumed wrath. And we know from the New Testament that Christ is our sacrifice. He is our propitiation. And the drink offering was not divorced from that work of Christ, symbolized and typified in the offering. The drink offering was poured out upon that whole burnt offering. Now let's try and put this together. What the Scriptures are telling us is this, that if there is to be any service dedicated to God, if there is to be any life poured out to God, it is to be on the basis of nothing less than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. Service which is rendered separate from the sacrifice of Christ may indeed do some good, but in the end, it will result in self-righteousness and appointing to oneself as the one who has done the good deeds. But a life that is dedicated to service based upon Jesus Christ finds its foundation always in the Master, always in service to Him. And He is the one who gets the glory. And that's the picture that the drink offering is giving to us. Now, if you would permit me to guide you to two additional texts of Scripture, I think we can validate this concept and see how it more specifically relates to you and to me. Would you turn, please, in the New Testament now to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, and note the striking language utilized by the Apostle Paul. Philippians 2 and verse 17. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of your service and faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. What did the Apostle Paul consider his life of service to Jesus Christ to be? It was a drink offering being poured out on the sacrifice. And this is the very specific language the apostle uses. And I say to you, dear friends in Christ this evening, God calls you and God calls me. God calls us to pour out our lives in faith and service to Him based upon what Jesus Christ has done in His sacrifice. That's the message. And that's the connection, it seems to me. Look at another text where Paul gives us something similar. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. What a picture the apostle presents to you and to me of a life poured out in service to God, not as an end in itself, but because of what Christ has done in that great offering up of Himself as a sacrifice for sinners. And so the message is quite clear, it seems to me. Paul gives us an indication of it in another place in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. As I reviewed that text, I was reminded of the fact that before I was a Calvinist and I preached from this text, I preached it as one who would confess the faith as we know it, would preach it. That is, it's only on the basis of God's mercy towards us that we in any way can dedicate ourselves to Him and to give ourselves to Him. Is that not the case? And so again, this is the message, friends. Pour your life out to Christ in whatever place Christ has been pleased to place you because of all that Jesus has done for you. Shortly after I got out of the army, and we lived in Dallas, Texas, I got a job with Travelers Insurance Company. Be easy on me now. As an engineer. And I got to the place in the office in which I worked where I was training other engineers. And then, in God's providence, He took us into the pastorate where we belonged. After I had been in this particular pastorate for some time, and it was a very difficult situation, and I often felt like crawling under the rug because of the depths of despair that came upon me, I received a letter from the wife of a man that I trained as an engineer in Dallas, Texas. And she said to me, my husband has become a Christian, and we attribute in large measure the reason for his conversion, your life in that engineering office. And I broke down and wept and sobbed. Well, there was a lot of emotion that had been pent up. We have no idea how God will be pleased to use the humble instrumentality of our lives dedicated to Him in service as we live day by day to influence those who are around us. And we may never know until we come to glory. The drink offering. Pour out your life to God in service, dear friends, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And tonight, as we come together to eat the bread and drink the cup, I challenge you and I challenge myself that as we are holding in our hands that bread, we would remember what Jesus did for us. And when we hold that cup in our hands and we drink of that cup, may we be reminded of how Jesus poured out His life for us. And may each one of us, friends, rededicate ourselves in this service of communion to pour out our lives to Him in service and in faith, because He has done so much for each one of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your word. Grant us Your Spirit and light, and may we, as Your people, pour out our lives in service to You, remembering how good You have been to us. We pray in the good and great and gracious name of Jesus the Savior. Amen.